Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be reviewing is called Shelby Oaks. It's directed by Chris Stuckman, written by Sam Liz and Chris Stuckman, starring Sarah Dern as Riley and Camille Sullivan as Mia. The plot of the movie is a woman's desperate search for her long-lost sister falls into obsession upon realizing that the imaginary demon from their childhood may have been real. But first, Corey, true horror story. Looked in the mirror this morning, my beard, an absolute nightmare. Dry, wild, looked like it clawed its way out of a crypt.
That's terrifying, man. Did you hit it with that beard octane?
Oh yeah, beard wash, conditioner, beard oil brought it back from the dead.
Fellas, don't let your beard turn into a creature feature. Keep it alive and kicking with Beard Octane.
And right now, hit beardoctane.com, use code 30screams10, get 10% off. Save some cash and save your beard from becoming a horror show.
Bad beard day? We've had plenty. Beard Octane's the fix. We swear by it.
30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Shelby Oaks?
First off, huge thanks to Neon for sending us an early screener of this. Personally, this was one of my most anticipated films of the year. As a big Mike Flanagan fan, the fact that he actually stepped back as a director into an executive producer role immediately had my attention on this. The guy's a legend, but when he takes a back seat to let Chris Stuckman make his feature debut, you know it's going to be something special. Now let's talk about Camille Sullivan for a second, because we needed to start printing Oscar ballots now.
Really?
Her performance as Mia was absolutely phenomenal. She carried the entire film with very little help, and I mean that literally because most of the supporting characters had blink and you'll miss it screen time.
Oh yeah.
From this day forward, Shelby Oaks is the new gold standard for horror. Period.
Really? Wow. That's big. Yeah, I love this. Obviously, we'll talk about it in my review, but I couldn't think of anything I didn't like about it. I thought the story was unique, and yeah, she stole the show. She had a commanding performance the whole entire time. It's funny. This movie, at first, I saw your little review, and you raved about it. I'm like, okay, let's take a look. And immediately, I was getting the vibes of, oh, it's a fomentary. We're doing one of those things again. Which, not my jam. And I'm just like, shit.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, he loves this, and I'm going to shit all over this thing because I don't like these kind of movies.
Yeah, and that's how I felt when it started. I'm like, Steve's going to fucking hate this.
Yeah, and then the coolest fucking part of this whole movie, at least I think it's the coolest part, is when it's still that documentary style looking thing, and this guy comes to the door. And he goes, she let me go. Bang. Shoots himself.
Unexpected.
And unexpected, but it shifted from documentary to movie.
Yeah.
It flipped like that. I was like, no way. That was really fucking cool. Because you would think that they would still continue with the whole documentary spiel. But the fact is, when they switched to that, it really said, okay, now we're hopping into the movie. Now we're getting into the real, like, nitty gritty. And I thought that was just so awesome. It was definitely a unique approach. I haven't seen anything like that before. It's either one of two ways. It's either a fomentary or it's just a movie. It's not like flipping back and forth like that. So I thought we were going to get like a little bit of a found footage fomentary. When I say fomentary, it's really just mockumentary, people. I just like to say fomentary because I'm fucking absurd.
You got that right.
Yeah, I am. So I thought it was going to be like a found footage fomentary type deal, but it was kind of more along the lines of found footage slash regular movie. Like, or it was really just kind of covering the gamut here, just doing them all in one shot.
It had a little bit of everything for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought this was great. The acting was fantastic. Had no problems with that.
I know I already briefly ranted about Camille Sullivan, but yeah. I don't know if you watched the show Shoresy.
No, so I know what you're talking about, though. I haven't watched an episode yet. I've watched pretty much all of Letterkenny, but I couldn't finish it because, like, the last season, I was like, I can't get into this.
It was kind of trash.
It was trash.
But anyways, she's in Shoresy.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And it's like a, you know, it's a comedy show. It's like a slapstick humor. Mm-hmm. And she's one of the main characters in that show. And it's just, it's awesome to me to see when an actor or actress can literally kind of play two different genres so well.
Yep.
I mean, comedy, and this is a very serious movie. I'm hoping I get to meet her in December because I'm going to they're doing Shoresy, which you know is a hockey show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're doing Shoresy versus the Bruins alumni.
Really?
And I have tickets for it, and it's at the TD Garden in December. So,
oh, damn. So
I mean, I don't know if she's going to be there, but I know the cast is going to be there, and they're going to be doing meet and greets and stuff, so...
So it's Shoresy.
Hopefully I can meet
ice.
Her and just tell her that Shelby Oaks was fucking incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be nice if you could meet her. Just be like, hey, by the way, I've got this business card. And then,
yeah,
there you go.
You want to be on the podcast?
Just kind of slide right in there. You don't need to do DMs. Just do it IRL.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. We've talked about this before, about how actors doing like comedy type stuff transition really well to more dramatic roles. We've seen it with Robin Williams, for instance. Robin Williams, amazing.
Yeah, lots of comedy roles. And then he had like serious shit. What was that movie he had with the, was a doctor, right?
Patch Adams.
Patch Adams.
Yeah.
More of a serious movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. Good Will Hunting.
Yep.
I don't know. You're
phenomenal,
right.
Phenomenal, like, in it.
And it's not something every actor can do.
No.
They really get typecast. Like, I fucking hate Melissa McCarthy.
Yep.
It's very well known that I hate Melissa McCarthy because she gets typecast in these comedy roles, but then she does these, like, she's done a few serious roles, but, like, I cannot get behind a serious role for certain people. It's almost like they're faking it.
Yeah. So you think she's faking it whenever she does the serious roles?
Yeah, for a paycheck.
Okay, fair enough. You would think that
I'm going to get canceled for that.
Probably. You would think that when they do more dramatic roles that they're not just doing it for a paycheck. I mean, the slapstick comedy or like horror movies sometimes, or cheesy horror movies, is usually just a quick paycheck. But
yeah.
Now horror's making this massive comeback in over the last few years. It's been
It really is. And like, it goes back to what Jose Mangan said when we had him on. Horror's never been bigger.
No.
As it has been the past few years.
It's fucking slaying these past few years. It's really been doing really fucking well. Like at the theaters, I feel like, you know, more and more people are really getting into horror. I mean, look at all the Terrifier shit there is now. It's all over the place. You can't walk into a place without seeing like Terrifier merchandise.
It's insane, dude. I think I told you we were on that cruise last week, and Joanne went to get coffee one day, and she's in like that. She's in an elevator, and there was someone in the elevator with a Terrifier shirt on.
Yeah.
And she started talking. She's like, Katie, you know, I see you wearing a Terrifier shirt. You like horror? And she like told this person about us. So hopefully that person went and checked us out. But yeah, Terrifier on a fucking cruise ship. It was wild.
Dude, my brother just sent us a video.
Yeah, Dream Theater.
Of Dream Theater. Lead singer wearing a Terrifier 2 shirt on stage for a progressive metal band that's usually quite serious about image and stuff. It's pretty interesting to see them wear a shirt like that, especially with the lead singer. Usually he's dressed up kind of nice or whatever. At least from what I've seen. So I thought that was really interesting. But yeah, he's all over the place. I bet if KB Toys or Toys R Us was still around, probably be a whole section dedicated to Terrifier.
Did you not know that Toys R Us is actually back?
Isn't it like a boutique thing inside of a JCPenney?
No, they have, at least here, they have a whole storefront in the mall of New Hampshire.
Oh, shit. That's
I think
cool.
It actually opened this week.
Nice.
I haven't been there yet, but I do have to go check it out.
Yeah, you should. I definitely enjoy myself going to toy stores. I miss those days of just going to Toys R Us. It was just such a different feeling, man. I used to go there when I was younger. This is the way they did video games. So to buy a video game, they had these pouches.
Oh, the cards?
Of cards, whatever. And you would grab the card and you'd go and purchase it. And they have to freaking go into like their little secret stash and grab the shit. Like, you know, it does that is fucking GameStop, and I hate it. I hate how they do it. But like,
it's funny
all their
that
games are like in fucking sleeves. I hate it.
It's funny that this is kind of the way they're doing things, or the way things are done now is you can literally walk up to the shelf and grab a game, like the game itself, and walk to the register with it.
Yeah.
But like, there's so many pieces of shit, more pieces of shit now than there were then, like, you know, with Steel.
Mm-hmm.
You can just walk out with a game now. But before, they were more conscious about it when, you know, people were more honest kind of thing. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Now they don't care. Just fucking take it.
Well, fucking video games is $70. But yeah. In their defense, back when Super Nintendo was around, I think I bought Super Street Fighter.
Okay.
Super Street Fighter 2, I should say. And it was $75. Now, let's do that math for a second.
You bought that new?
New, $75, when that came out. What was $75 when I was like 15 years old? Let's see. Super Street Fighter. When did that come out, first of all? You know what? Let's just go with Super Street Fighter. Actually, was it Turbo? Actually, no. I think it was just Street Fighter 2, to be honest. Okay. Street Fighter 2. When did that come out? That came out in 91 for Super Nintendo. Is that when Super Nintendo came out?
I have no clue.
No.
Sounds about right when it would have.
Okay. If I purchased an item for $75, then in 2025, that same item would cost $178.40.
Street Fighter 2.
Street Fighter 2 for Super Nintendo.
It's probably worth more now. Like the game itself, like an OG copy.
Well, yeah, an OG copy and box still would be fucking way up there. All right, so we're going off the fucking rails like we usually do. So let's get back into it. What were we talking? We were talking about the scene where it transitioned from film entry into movie. And man, this sister of hers was so damaged because the documentary was her trying to talk about her sister who was a YouTube star, which I saw
they were
your
podcasters.
Notes. It's podcasters. It's us.
Yeah,
it's us. So the idea was that she was part of this paranormal show that was on YouTube and her friends went missing. Her friends ended up dead. She was still like missing. Her body was never found, nothing like that. So her sister's been looking for her since she's been missing. And this is like years and years and years. So when this guy came to the door and shot himself, he had a tape, and this tape showed him killing some of the people in the house that her sister and her friends were at. And showing him kidnap her. Now that he's dead, there's no real way for her to technically find her sister because that would technically be her captor. But she still managed to do some detective shit. She decided she was going to do it because the police, they were just going to close the case. Be like, oh yeah, she's dead. He's dead. It's done. You know, it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it really led to like a lot of cool scenes. You know what? I do want to circle back real quick. When that guy shot himself, she's just hanging out on the couch, bloody, just hanging out for hours with his blood and probably brain matter all over her.
So I definitely made a note of that because you said earlier about how traumatized she was.
Mm-hmm.
She just watched this dude shoot himself in the temple with a gun.
Yep.
And like you said, he leaves this tape and she wants to watch the tape. So she's sitting on her couch watching this tape for hours,
mm-hmm.
which is blood and brain matter all over her head and her face and her body.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, she is absolutely traumatized. Like that's like deep PTSD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's fucking like lost. At that point, when you see that shit happen right in front of you, what do? You're just mm-hmm. in complete utter shock. So I don't know if she was just so focused on finding her sister that nothing else mattered.
Yeah.
That even people shooting themselves in front of her, she was just like, fuck. And then, you know, she gets the tape and it's like, whatever. I mean, she should have obviously handed that tape to the police. But then again, if she did, she'd probably never see it ever again.
Right.
And she would never be able to find her sister, which, I mean, I'm not going to give away some shit because this movie's still going to be coming out. You know, we got it early. But let's just say some of the shit that she was doing, like, she was going to fucking, like, abandoned prisons at night.
Dude, that scene was, like, so nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's, like you said, walking through an abandoned prison. And this film is, like, a masterclass in sound design.
Mm-hmm.
Because that whole prison scene, it's silent. It's just her walking through this thing with a flashlight. One of the coolest parts to me was you could see her breath.
Yeah.
Because it was, obviously, it was cold in there. But it's silent and all you can see is her breath. And then she starts hearing those noises.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, just brilliant.
Well, I noticed this, though, or I've heard stories that usually when there's some sort of entity nearby, that the room temperature drops.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's what was happening in that situation, because the same thing happened to her sister when they were filming her paranormal show on YouTube. So, yeah, they're filming this paranormal show and she goes to that prison cell and she starts seeing her breath and like the temperature just plummets, and that's when she starts hearing some shit, and you know they're running out of there in the YouTube video.
Yeah, so it's just the attention to detail in that scene alone that mm-hmm. Stuckman was able to achieve. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, maybe it was a ghost or something paranormal in the room with her, but you could see the breath. So obviously the temperature dropped.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like he like hit every fucking nail with this movie.
Oh, yeah, he was great.
And pairing himself with Mike Flanagan, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, hell of a team. I thought this was great. But there was always this dog, too. You know, there was the doggo always going around. And, man, I knew this fucking thing was probably, like, demon or something. Because wherever she was going and, like, you know, the temperature would drop or whatever, that fucking dog was hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, eventually the dog leads her to a place where you're thinking like, okay, maybe you shouldn't follow the dog if he's raising that much hell.
Right.
But she's like, oh, okay, I'm going to just follow him. That's kind of more towards the end. But I mean, she's doing all this great detective work. She finds out that the same guy that shot himself was also a prisoner in that same prison, mm-hmm. in that cell. And then there was like, they were talking about this friggin' prison riot that went down. And the thing about this prison riot is like, everyone was doing their crazy thing, causing all sorts of hell. And he's just standing in his cell, staring out the prison bars. And he's just like standing there. Like nothing else matters around him. All he can do is just stare outside. And it kind of, she kind of did the same thing. And that's when like she heard all the friggin' noises happening in the room. Then the dog appeared and all this shit. I would never go to a prison by myself at night in the pure dark like that.
No, no shot. That's no. What I was saying. Like she's doing all this shit alone.
Yeah. I mean, at one point she had to say, find my iPhone on. Well, yeah, no shit. You should have probably had it on the whole time. Her husband kind of sucks, though.
He was a prick.
Yeah.
He thinks she's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's, like, belittling everything she's saying about her own sister. Like, I think I wrote somewhere in the beginning of my notes, I was like, I hope this motherfucker dies a painful death. Oh, yeah. I hope he's the one that gets a mangled dick, and we get to see that.
more mangled dick talk?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, that was a big hit last time.
That was a big hit.
People love the mangled dick talk.
We let them simmer on the mangled dick for 2 weeks, and we're back. I miss doing this. I'm almost kind of rusty, just being like, how do I fucking do my camera shit? I'm thinking my whole camera's all fucked up. It's not. I don't know.
No.
No, we're
good. We both went through it before we started.
We did. We made sure. Well, you know what we should talk about? And, like, I think it's okay we can go off on a tangent for a second. You are at Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, boy.
We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, it was definitely an amazing experience. So we did two parks in one day, which was fucking crazy.
That's nuts.
Yeah, so like that's why we've kind of been off. I've been away. So we went to Epic or whatever. What the hell is it called? Universal Studios Universe. Epic Universe. Yeah. So we did that like Saturday morning / afternoon and then went back to the hotel for a couple hours. And then we went to Universal Halloween Horror Nights. Really cool experience. Obviously, my main thing was Jason and Terrifier. Those are the two things I wanted to see.
Sure.
So after standing in line, because we get there right about the time they open, which I think is 6:30 when they start letting people in. Mm-hmm. I think we were in line just to get in for like an hour and a half, maybe just a fucking sea of people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So as soon as we get in there, I'm like, beeline it to Terrifier because I know that that's the one that everyone's going to.
Yeah.
So we get over to the Terrifier line and we didn't have express passes, mind you.
Fucked up.
We get and we see those two lines. We see express and we see standby. And then I don't know why, but they have like people that work there standing at the front of the line scanning tickets again, even though you scan ticket to get in.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
she scans our ticket. I don't know if I told you this. She waves us through the express line.
You locked out.
The Terrifier house.
Fucking locked out.
So we probably about 20 minutes, maybe in that line. House is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you and I got to talk to Phil Falcone at Silver Scream about it, you know, and how they basically everything Universal did was perfect. They pitched them ideas. They would nail them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, recreated scenes from every movie. Actually, I texted Phil afterwards and I'm like, you weren't kidding, man. This is fucking unreal.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you guys started with a few $1,000 budget with the first movie to what it is now. Like we were talking before we recorded, like you can't go in anywhere right now and not see Terrifier stuff.
Yeah. Fucking everywhere.
Fucking little Art the Clown. I never saw it, but I heard that there was an Art the Clown riding a tricycle around the park all night.
I thought that's fucking terrifying.
Went and saw the Clown Cafe food cart.
Nice.
Which was pretty cool.
Yep.
But yeah, after that, we decided it was time to go to Jason, but the line was already well over an hour.
Yeah.
And we saw that the WWE Wyatt Six house is only like 35 minutes or something at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and hopped in that line.
Yeah.
Nice. And I'm like, this is going to suck. WWE is not going to let them be gory and violent and all that shit. Mm-hmm. Oh boy, I was wrong. That house is crazy good.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a wrestling, you know, we're marks, right?
Yeah. Sure.
We're marks. I think they did a really good job. I guess I missed it by a week, but Alexa Bliss actually was one of the scare actors the week before.
Oh,
she played her character inside the house.
Oh, man. I bet that would have been awesome. Holy shit.
Yeah. I saw that afterwards. The lady that they have playing her in the house when I was there looked very much like Alexa Bliss. It wasn't, but they definitely got an actress looking like her.
Oh, yeah. They're good. Those actors are fucking great. They're so good at what they do.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like the Terrifier house, they have like, I don't know, 20 different Art the Clowns in there. People just playing Art the Clown in every room.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, but they have Sense. They did Sense this year. Somehow they nailed Sense.
No idea, but I know they do stuff like that. They try to like really play with your senses in those houses.
So specifically, the room with the Sense was the scene from the second movie with the scalping and the bleach. Oh, man. And there was a red button on the wall in one section. I didn't push it. I'm assuming it enhances the smell or something.
Yeah.
Like if you push the thing. It was awesome. And then when you get to the end, they set up two paths. So there's a dry path and a wet path. They called it the bloodbath path.
Yeah.
And then they have, right when you get to that room at the end, they have like a guy, an Art the Clown at the top, and he's pointing in different directions, and he's holding severed arms in his hands.
Oh, that's fun.
But yeah, we went down the bloodbath path, and it's like a tunnel, and it's red water falling from the ceiling.
Yeah.
And Phil Falcone was telling us that they originally wanted to have reactive ponchos that they would give out at the beginning of when you walk in. So when you walk through this wet path, the ponchos would turn red. So they look like blood.
That would have been sick.
That was the one thing Universal said no to.
It's expensive. I mean, it's so much more money, especially with how many people are going to be in there. And it's probably a logistical nightmare being like, okay, everyone, make sure you put your ponchos on,
Yeah.
Or something like that. It's just a lot of work. It's really going to slow things down, I bet. So that makes sense. I think it probably would have been really cool, though, because it would have looked like you were soaked. But going to Halloween Horror Nights is one of, like, my personal favorite experiences.
Yeah. That and, place, like, we talked about it briefly, but, like, whether it be next year, the year after, whatever, you and I have to plan a trip there because Joanne did not have a good time.
No.
She's not a horror person, but she did it for me.
No, that's okay. I say you and I, we go. But then we make sure to get the fast pass because yes, it's extra money, but you're going to make sure that you're not fucking waiting in line the whole time.
Yeah.
Because I waited in line, I think almost 2 hours to see the Last of Us house.
Okay.
And it was awesome. It was very well done. I mean, there's fucking cars flipped over and like people are just fucking shooting things. And you see Ellie and Joel, it looks like them. Like these people were very good actors.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing, amazing time. They really put in a lot of work. They do this stuff like a year in advance. So they knew about Terrifier last year.
Oh, yeah. And it was rumored for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then like David kind of sort of confirmed it at like a con or whatever, like a Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone asked him, but he didn't respond. And he kind of just like smiled or something, you know? But it wasn't confirmed. Dude, it's insane. Like Art the Clowns, and he just came to Fortnite yesterday.
It's nuts. This is supposed to be kind of a kid game.
Yeah.
It's not anymore. Like,
no.
Adults play this game.
You got Art the Clown. You got The Grabber this season. You've got Jason Voorhees.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know what other characters there are this year.
Well, Ghostface and Michael Myers are in it, but
Ghostface was this year too, right?
Yeah, they're kind of NPCs. Well, actually, no. Ghostface, you turn into a costume and you start running around and stabbing people, which is fun as hell.
Yeah, but you can buy the skin.
Oh, can you?
Well, you could. Yeah, I didn't get it. I got because they had the Jason one and the Ghostface one at the same time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I only want to get one because I know Art's coming.
Yeah. I can't justify it, dude. These skins are like 1,500 V-Bucks, and that's $15. Like, break it down, it's $15. Because
if you're me, you buy the bundles.
Right. Yeah, you're probably better off buying the bundles.
But... Well, the bundle comes with, like, the Art one was the bundle. It was the back bling. It was the axe.
Mm-hmm.
I think an emote and a weapon wrap.
What's the emote? I gotta see that thing.
I'll show you.
Okay.
It's just him. He like dances around like an asshole, and then he pulls out his little horn.
Yeah. All right.
Beat, you know,
that's fun. So let's get back into the movie. I know I wanted to kind of kill some time because I don't want to like talk too much about the movie because it's still coming out.
Yeah.
But I did see something interesting on IMDb, which maybe you can clarify this for me because I don't know how much you've read into it.
Nope.
I was seeing that this movie came out in 2024 or it was like... releases. I do see releases October 24th, 2025. That's important to remember, people, because that by the time you're hearing this episode, it has just come out. Like, we watched it last week. So, yeah, I think it was filmed in 2024.
I believe it was like a like Sundance Film Festival or something like that, maybe.
That makes sense.
It was one of those, it was one of those festivals that it was shown at probably a year ago.
Okay, and then it probably got picked up, and now it's getting released in, like, theaters and shit like that.
Oh, Shelby Oaks had its world premiere on July 20th, 2024 at the Fantasia International Film Festival.
Okay, so it made the film festival circuits, and then it's like, okay, now here's the official release date.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those film circuits, they do that anyways, probably to, like, gauge what should be changed in the movie. That's
one of these times we got to go to one of, like, they invite us to these UK screenings all the time, and one of these days we have to go.
Well, let's fly to fucking UK then.
I'm down.
Yeah, I don't have that money. Here's a thought. Everyone, buy some merch. So that way we can take some of this money and put it towards a trip to London or England or anywhere in England where they're doing these screeners and they keep asking us to go. We're from the States. That's like a $1,200 ticket for each of us. We can't afford that. I know I can't. So buy some merch. Goes towards hosting costs and plane tickets. And maybe Halloween Horror Nights. You know what? Fuck it. I'm putting a donate button on our website. And then maybe people will just be like, you know what? These guys should go to Halloween Horror Nights and they should tell us all about it.
Let's get back to the movie.
I like that idea. Let's get back to it. I'm just going to jump ahead to the scene towards the end where she follows the dog into this house. And
is this Norma's house?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, dude. The second she got there and she saw those like symbol things on the ground made out of sticks.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you've seen those before. You know something's fucked up right now.
Yep.
She goes in the house. I got a little like barbarian vibes here, especially where she followed Norma into the basement.
Mm-hmm. That. The basement scene in Barbarian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. You know what I got from this, actually? Not movie based, but Centralia, Pennsylvania. Do you know this place?
No.
No? So it's kind of like Silent Hill. So Centralia only has, I think I read, 5 people live in there. It's basically a ghost town. Everyone opted to leave the town. There's only 5 people that live there.
Okay.
And the reason being is that fires have been burning underneath the ground and it's borderline inhabitable. Like, there's parts where people decide, no, I'm just going to stay there. I'm going to live here. This is my home and whatever. That's up to them. But I guess the government were offering people money to leave because the fucking ground is burning. So people are just living on top of fire.
All right.
It was like a mine fire and it's just been burning for years and years and years. So it kind of reminded me of that because Norma, that whole town, she's basically the only one living there.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that feeling. I'm like, damn, if you're the only person in that town, like living in a town, that makes you kind of everything. Like, you could claim yourself as mayor and sheriff and this and that. I mean, you basically could take over the place.
Lawless.
Lawless, right. So, Lawless Norma. So, Lawless Norma, just hanging out, offering tea or, like, you know, snack, all that stuff. And Mia starts to go through some books, some picture books. And this is when we see the fucking lunacy. And, Corey, I mean, what do you think we should talk about here? Because this is a pretty pivotal scene. I don't know if we should be spoiling it.
No, let's skip that. We'll go to the basement.
Let's go to the basement. All right.
Yeah, so no, as I said before, like, I got barbarian vibes here.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you lost your mind at this scene. Because when Mia finally finds Riley.
Yep.
Did you notice the eyes in the background?
Yes, I did. I thought that was really fucking cool.
Yeah, so the eyes in the background, and I wrote, Steve is paralyzed right now. Because it was a split second you see those eyes glowing in the background, right?
Blink and you miss it. It happened so fast, so fast. And our dude, Derek Mears, is in that fucking demon costume.
Dude, so I saw in the beginning when they were showing the like opening credits, which, by the way, we never talked about this.
Oh, yeah.
Longest opening intro I've ever seen in my life.
It was long. It was very long.
Did you happen to look at the timer to see how much time had passed before the opening title rolled?
No.
It was like 22 minutes.
Bullshit.
I swear to God.
What? Oh, my God.
Before it said, like, Shelby Oaks.
It's an hour-long movie.
Yeah. It was, like, 22 minutes before it said what it was.
Yeah, kind of a short movie, to be honest.
It was, but I don't feel like it felt like a short movie.
No.
Because I had my asshole clenched the whole time.
Yeah.
The entire time. It was like, I don't know, man. It's just like a just such a suspenseful movie.
It was. But I love that scene. Blink and you miss it. The eyes just peered real quick. And Riley is just locked away, hanging out. I didn't think she was going to find her dead. Or if anything, maybe just come to the realization that Norman maybe killed her. But
yeah. I didn't think she was going to be in the basement. I didn't think she was going to be alive. Because we see her whole posse destroyed.
Yeah.
Like, everyone that she did that podcast with got mangled.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow Riley survived.
Yep. Somehow. I don't know how much I want to give away. I know we're usually a pretty heavy spoiler podcast, but
not this one.
Neon hooked us up big time. We don't want to burn that bridge. We're not like really... Like, we just started talking to them. We don't want to be like, here's the whole movie, everyone. We're going to tell you the ending. And
yeah, we go to send this to them next week, and they just one and done. Sorry, guys.
Let's get to the reviews. I think we should just fucking get into the reviews. Let's just do the reviews.
Yeah, I'm down. I don't want to, like you said, I don't want to give this whole thing away because it needs to be seen.
Yeah, everyone needs to see this one. Corey, I think we already know where you're going with this. What do you give Shelby Oaks?
This gets a 1 out of 5. Okay.
Can you imagine, that would be hysterical if you're just, like, raving about a movie the whole time, and then you just go, fuck it, 1 out of 5.
Fuck this movie, it stinks.
It stinks, no. Go for it.
All right, so 5 out of 5. If we weren't sticking to our usual rating system, I'd rate this even higher, honestly. I almost didn't rate it at all out of pure respect.
Okay.
Shelby Oaks was that good. My cheeks were clenched tighter than a jar of pickles from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it's just a debut film. No big deal. Chris Stuckman casually strolls in, drops Shelby Oaks like it's nothing, and suddenly every horror director under 40 is sweating.
Yeah.
The suspense, oppressive. The dread, constant. I didn't blink for 90 minutes. By the end, I was dehydrated, emotionally unstable, and deeply offended by how good it was. Thanks, Chris. Really appreciate it.
Nice, nice. You know who fucking did that kind of shit as well? Ari Aster came out of the gate.
I definitely got vibes like, yeah, he's Ari Aster. He's made like Hereditary, Midsommar. Now I can't remember what else he's done.
Bo is Afraid.
And he's got one more after that, right?
Yeah, it's a Western, but I don't think it came out yet. You think it's coming?
No, it was Eddington.
Eddington?
Was it Eddington?
Eddington. Maybe.
Let me see.
That sounds right, Eddington.
You're right. Well, I mean, Western. Eddington's a Western. Yeah, it is.
Oh, Ari Aster. Okay. Yep.
That's the one with Joaquin Phoenix and Pedro Pascal.
Yes. Oh, okay. Release date July. Oh, it already came out. Shit.
So, to your point, Chris Stuckman is gonna be that level if he keeps going.
Yeah.
Similar to the Filippo brothers.
Oh yeah.
You
oh,
know,
God. They're fucking
talk
awesome.
To me, bring her back. You've got these like, and Chris Stuckman, apparently I did some research on this, but he's not new to the filmmaking world. He's more of a YouTube guy. He made like shorts and stuff like that.
Yep.
This is his debut feature film. So for a debut, man, the bar is so high for him.
Yep.
He's got a bright future.
Yeah, so you'd be surprised at some of the shit that people are able to do, like, once they start playing around with YouTube and, like, social media and shit like that. Then they start becoming, like, actual directors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's kind of go back further than that. Spike Jonze. Spike Jonze used to do skate videos and music videos, and now look at him. I don't know what he's done lately for movies, but I know he's putting out commercials for Apple. And they're fucking phenomenal. They're so damn good. But I'm going to go into my review now. This is a bit of a doozy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
God damn. Go ahead.
You saw it, right?
No, I didn't. I try to stay away from that shit because I want to be surprised.
Okay, that's good.
So I can get mad at you when you shit on something.
Yeah.
For the first time, you know?
Right. Yeah. Oh, that it makes for a good reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's hear it, Steve.
All right, let's go for it. Honestly, I can't think of anything bad to say about this movie, so I think I'm going to go with a 5 out of 5 on this as well.
Not what I expected.
Yeah, expected. We both loved it.
No, I didn't expect you to give it a 5 out of 5 basing on how you were just talking.
Right, right. Well,
swerve.
It was a swerve. I know, a little bit of a swerve. At the beginning, we were probably going to teeter on 3 out of 5 territory with the whole mockumentary deal. Mm-hmm. But okay. I'll be honest, at first I was kind of turned off because of the foam entry deal, which I've never been a fan of. They often put me to sleep, so I was a bit worried that Corey was going to quit the podcast because I didn't like it.
Uh-oh.
Because you
won't let me quit. I've tried.
No, I know. You've tried like hell, and you're just failing miserably. No, I have it in contract. You signed it. Sorry. Sorry, you're stuck here. What I really liked about it was that at first it was that documentary style, and then when the gunshot happened, it just flipped gears. I thought that was such a cool approach, and it really truly set the movie in motion. I could see this film drawing inspiration from Blair Witch, even Silent Hill, and funny we talk about Ari Aster, Midsommar. I can see a little Midsommar vibes in this movie, but I did feel like it stood on its own. The acting was great. I loved the score. The CGI was great. Nothing about it felt cheesy. Also, Derek Mears is a tall fucking guy, right? We've seen him in person, but he looked like he was 9 feet tall in this fucking movie. Like,
I don't know if that was movie magic, but yeah, we've stood next to him. I mean, we were at a taco restaurant with him.
Yeah.
He wasn't that tall, you know, in comparison to this film.
I will say he was about a foot over me. I'm 5'9". He might have been closing in on like maybe 6'7" territory.
Did he appear that big in Friday the 13th?
No. Well, I mean, sometimes they put smaller people next to these big people and they make them look ginormous. Also, he was wearing that whole demon makeup prosthetic deal, which looked amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
Maybe he had even like stilts or platform shoes or something to make him even taller.
Okay.
Because he was ginormous. Like when he was behind Norma, he was fucking towering, dude. Like just everything was towering. It wasn't just height. It was like muscle, just pure muscle too. So that demon thing was nuts looking. You can tell that it was Derek Mears, like I said, because he's a big dude. We met him once. This dude's got to be like 6'7". So if you want to see Shelby Oaks, it's in theaters as of October 24th. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.